Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. It's Jackie Cation, your host, your hostess, your whatever. I am thinking of re-recording the beginning, but I'm not gonna because I have a bit of a cold, ladies and gentlemen. Will Miles is our guest. You guys know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, and FamilyPetAncestry.com sends you to JackieCation.com because it made me laugh. Now, those are the websites. You can also go to iTunes and just download it. There's an app that has bonus content with me and Andy. I don't know if I'm going to be able to because I'm in New York for a couple of weeks and I may be able to record bonus phone bonuses with him over the phone. It would kind of make sense, but the audio would kind of blow. So we'll find out if I'm interested in doing that. You'll know because it'll be at thedorkforest.com at the bottom. It's for free at Libsyn, or it's part of the Libsyn app that they call bonus content and then give away for free. And that's fine by me. Anyway, the credits, Mike Rickberg sang and composed the Dork Forest theme song with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen. He will sing the Mexican hat dance at the end of the show. Patrick is going to fix this audio. Thank you very much, Patrick Brady. And Vilmos does my website, JackieCation.com. So if you need a website, you can order stuff from JackieCation.com. You won't get it till the first week of February because I'm on the road. I am going to be, by the way, doing sets all over New York City. So follow my Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and you will see where I will be each and every night. Jackie Cation, at Jackie Cation. And my email, if you need to email me for some reason, jackie@jackiecation.com, coincidentally enough. The last week of January, I will be at Acme Comedy Company in Minneapolis, Minnesota, my home club, full of lovely people that I will be psyched to be there. Anyway, it's a good show. Donate if you want. If you're enjoying the show, feel free to use the donation button. But this is getting long, so just let's get into it. My sister's ad where she pronounces our last name different. And then the program. Let us begin.
At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am in New York City. I am here with Will Miles of WillMilesComedy.com. And what's your Twitter? Is it at Will Miles Comic?
At Mr. Will Miles.
At Mr. Will Miles. There we go. And Will Miles, I saw you do stand-up comedy last year when I was here in New York City, and you were very funny.
Thank you very much. You were very funny as well.
Thank you. It's we're in an echoey apartment, so hopefully everyone could hear us good. And we are going to dork out. And you said that you could talk about romantic comedies, and then when you sent me the list of things that we were going to do, you said technology and love.
Yeah.
What is a romantic comedy but technology and love?
Well, I don't know if you've seen the movie Her.
But I have not. I have
it's
not.
It's a very good movie. So I grew up liking romantic comedies all the time. Like I've seen almost all of them.
Really?
Like
all the John Hughes ones or like His Girl Friday or what?
I've seen all the John Hughes ones. Mm-hmm. I was very particular to those because they took place in Chicago for the most part. And
that's
Chicago.
Where you grew up?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was always like, oh, cool. I kind of know what they're talking about here.
Yep. That's how love is in Chicago.
Yeah.
It turns out it's fabulously wealthy, and then you get a really nice car when you turn 16.
It is. That's all it's about.
That's
and then
entirely.
There's always a nerd and a jock. It's pretty cool.
There's a slow clap jock. So I did not see Her. It's about a
Her kind of combines the two. So I'm very worried about society because I think we're all very addicted to our phones, and anytime I see a bunch of people on their phones in one small block, I'm like, okay, that's
right.
Like, what happens when the technology shuts down.
Right, eventually. Right. When the grid goes down,
yeah.
How will we recoup?
Exactly.
It's, you know, I was in Hong Kong and there was a recurring loop track on the escalators that all it said in English, and I'm sure also in Chinese, it said, do not only look at your mobile device.
Yeah.
Over and over again. People were tripping, I guess, and falling because they were only looking at their mobile device.
Well, that's sad.
That is sad. Now, because I think I did online dating to find my fella.
Okay.
Which I think has been, it's like the most Yentl thing in the world as far as I'm concerned. It, like, it simplifies, it streamlines. Technology in my case helped.
It did help. But that connected you to a real person. Her is sort of about a guy who falls in love with an actual computer. Siri, like a Siri on your phone.
That, which is insane.
Yeah, totally insane.
I mean, I don't even use Siri.
Yeah, I don't either. Siri scares me a little bit.
Right, because you say something. I mean, I have heard people, like I've seen on Facebook or whatever, where people are like, hey, my daughter who has autism talked to Siri for half an hour and it really helped her.
It's like, yeah.
Did it? That did sounds like you don't want to talk to your daughter who has autism. Which feels rude. But
yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. It's a crutch, too. It's.
Like, it's kind of porny.
It is.
I mean, I think that there's a place. I think that there's always been some sort of porn or something going on in people's lives, or like a disconnect of fantasy and not real.
Absolutely. It was books. I mean, you read books that kind of take you away.
Cave drawings. You're like, look at that hot cartoon lady. where does it draw the line for you though?
I don't know. Just it's hard because I'm also addicted because, you know, in the comedy world, you got to be on like all these different social media platforms and
everything but LinkedIn.
Yeah, right.
We don't want LinkedIn any part of
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn
is unimportant to comedy.
It's not going to help me at all.
Although there's a lot of comedians on there and I'm always like, what am I going to do? I don't even know how to use LinkedIn.
Right. I don't want to learn.
Yeah.
I'm always just like, is there a temp job that you're afraid you're going to have to get eventually? Which we all could do, but
I know, sadly.
Yes. but
it's just like, yeah, I just think because, I'm very into the idea of like building my own house. One of my goals in life is to like have a family on a farm.
Okay.
And like grow my own crops and
like get off the grid.
Grid a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
just Ed Begley Jr. yourself some energy.
Exactly.
A little BC Klett.
Yep.
And
that would be a dream of mine.
Now, do you know how to do any of that?
No, not really. And that worries me too.
I know. When I was a kid, I always wanted to live off the land. And my parents were like, we live in a suburb. We live in a suburb.
Yeah, yeah.
You're never going to be able to live off the land. And there's a 7-Eleven right down there. And so, but I always thought, I mean, because I do think that it would be, I have a garden in Los Angeles.
That's
cool. If you end up moving to Los Angeles and you end up getting just a little plot of land, the weird thing about the earth is that if you plant plants and add water, you really don't have to do much more. And the earth will go, here is a bean sprout. And then you will have beans.
That's pretty awesome.
It is really awesome.
I want to get back to more of that, right?
Yeah, that'd be... So what is... do you have a partner?
Person? Yeah, I'm dating a girl right now.
Dating a girl? Is it... how did you meet her?
In real life, yeah. But doing comedy. She's also a comedian.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we were at the Knitting Factory one night, same place I met you.
So, yes, exactly.
It was around the same time, actually.
You've been dating her for about a year, and...
We've been dating for about 6-7 months now.
Okay, nice.
But we met a year ago, yeah.
Okay, and because it's... When you think about, like, the technology of stuff... And romantic comedies, what makes you like them? I mean, is it the... Because what I like about a romantic comedy is usually the banter.
The banter's always good.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy the formula of it.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to have a... So my favorite part about romantic comedies is that they start showing the individual lives of the two people involved.
Right.
No matter who the two characters are who are going to fall in love, you see their individual lives.
Yep.
Then you see the awkward way they meet that's abnormal.
Right.
It's going to be an abnormal meeting, right? Yeah, like, oh, my God. I can't believe I met you this way. then there's their happy moments together. They're building up their relationship. Then there's the one thing that's going to be real sad.
Right, that really ruins it.
You're going to like yell at the screen like, how did you fuck up like that? What are you doing, man?
Communication.
Yeah.
How did it happen?
What is this about? And now you're going to try to date this person? That's crazy. Right. And then they always get back together at the end in some dramatic fashion.
That is my very favorite part. Yeah. Have you ever seen a very mediocre but very lovely romantic comedy named 2 Weeks Notice?
Is that with
Sandra Bullock
and Hugh Grant?
Hugh Grant.
Yes.
That's right.
I love that one.
It's
yeah.
a good one.
It is.
That is exactly what happens. We see each of their separate lives. He is speaking at some sort of public event.
Yeah.
And his brother tells him that he has to get a new lawyer.
Yeah.
She is protesting some, like, the knocking down of some thing on Coney Island.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. Precisely, too.
Right. Yeah. And then they meet because she has to protest whatever he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then they get hired. And then we find out that they are soulmates. It turns out.
No matter what.
She doesn't like Beats.
Yeah.
She likes Beats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they live like that. And then, of course, there's the miscommunication. And then. The weird thing about that movie is that it doesn't do... I like it when there is more of a payoff at the end.
I do, too.
That one just has... And they kiss, and the movie's over.
Yeah, quick payoff. Quick a lot payoff. Of Hugh Grant movies kind of have that, too.
Yeah.
And he's always kind of playing the same role of, like, the cocky guy who... Oh, I'm a bumbling British idiot.
Right, aren't I likable?
Right, yeah. Don't you love me?
The same guy wrote music and lyrics.
Oh, with Drew
Hugh
Barrymore?
Grant and Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
And... That one had almost the exact same ending.
Absolutely.
And then he wrote a third movie that was horrible.
Which one?
With Sarah Jessica Parker and Hugh Grant. And it was set in the woods in Montana. He shouldn't leave New York.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy should all be New York.
Stick to New York.
Stick to New York.
Buddy,
it
old
was,
pal.
The Dunkermans? I don't know what it was called. It was
where they were in the witness protection program? Yeah, I've seen
there
that.
Was, they were hit. They were
meet
hiding.
Meet
the Fokker.
Yeah, something like one of those.
Whatever.
Meet the Henderson, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. then, couldn't be it. Later.
And Sam Waterston, I think, was in it for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I love that, too, the added character where you're like, oh, this is that a famous actor or actress who I know?
They usually do. Like
yeah.
In I think 2 Weeks Notice, it's Robert Klein.
Right, right.
Who plays
yeah, yeah.
her dad. And you're like, what is he doing in this? And I'm psyched for him.
How did he get suckered into this?
Miss Congeniality.
Yes.
That
yes.
was a romantic comedy, and yet it was also kind of action-y.
It had action because she was a police officer. But...
Right, because they were cops. And there wasn't enough love.
No.
Because I wanted them to get it. I
yeah.
wanted them to get it on a little bit more.
And it should have been more about that, but it was more about her being like I'm this tough cop.
I'm a tough cop, but I don't know how to wear a dress.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm all of a sudden in Miss America costume.
But yeah. I'll tell you what was great. Now I'm just weeding off into greats. I love Sandra Bullock, it turns out.
She's awesome.
She's Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy in The Heat.
In The Heat, yeah.
That movie had no love interest.
No. But it's almost like there's a new genre of like friend romantic comedy where it's just about
kind of it's a buddy.
Yeah, like
but it's lady buddy movies.
It is lady buddies and they're
yeah.
it's love, but it's friend love. It's not
right.
Like,
and Melissa McCarthy it was so like the guys would just keep coming up and she would just keep knocking them down.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And it was but that movie I literally laughed until I cried and I don't even like physical comedy.
That's good.
But she pulled that guy out of the car and
yeah.
climbed over a fence and there was a lot of insane.
It was in the heat of their rise too. Melissa McCarthy was like on fire.
Right out of Bridesmaids
yeah.
too, I think. And then I'm going to need her to do that movie 9 more times. I'm fine with that.
It's so funny.
And right. So who are your, what are your favorite romantic comedies?
My favorites are, I don't know if After Hours is a romantic comedy.
Who was that with?
It's with, I forget his name, but it's Martin Scorsese who directed it. And
mm-hmm.
there's a cameo by Cheech and Chong out of nowhere.
Okay.
That I love. Terry Garr's in it. it's more about just a guy who, like, can't figure shit out. And he's out late at night and he can't figure out how to get back from, I think he's in Brooklyn. And
okay.
it was set in the 80s, so Brooklyn was like the hood back then.
Yeah,
yeah, right. He was like, I got to get out of Brooklyn. Now
right.
he'd be like, I love Brooklyn. But
right, well, now yeah. it's been gentrified within an inch of its life.
Yeah, there's like almost no parts that are
right.
original.
I got off the subway day before yesterday to do a thing. And
yeah.
I said, which way is the Bell House?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And a guy said, it's that way. It doesn't, it looks dodgy, but there's nothing there. You're fine. And I was like, okay. And I just believed him because he was just some bearded youth.
There's no dodgy areas of Brooklyn, really.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
And,
but I like that. I like Failure to Launch with Matt McConaughey.
Oh, right.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay.
I like it because it's so like, if you really sit and think about it, you're like, no woman has that job of
what is that?
Domesticate
one?
A man.
Okay.
So
was that it?
That's pretty much it.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, she plays, and Zooey Deschanel is in it for a weird thing.
Weird.
So weird. That's with Terry Bradshaw.
And Terry Bradshaw yeah. has a weird.
And Kathy Bates, they play his parents.
Okay, that is a paycheck for
yeah.
those two people.
Oh man.
What? See, Matthew McConaughey bugs the shit out of me, but I would like to watch a Matthew McConaughey movie that I liked him in.
Yeah, I liked him a lot in that.
In that one.
Yeah.
And Failure to Launch. So what are their jobs? It's always fascinating to me what their jobs
totally
are.
Totally agree. How do they have all this money?
Right.
His job in that is, I can't even remember, but he didn't have to go to work very much throughout the movie. It was that much of a non-issue.
How about her?
And her job was... dating or get rid of your son consultant. So
oh.
it was like parents would find her if their son was still living in their house.
Oh.
And she'd come in and be the new girl who, like, he'd be like, oh man, who's this girl? I want to date her. And then she'd be like,
ah,
but you got to move out of your parents' house.
Ever.
It's a ridiculous plot.
That, wait, so she was hired by essentially Kathy Bates and Terry Bradshaw
yes.
to get Matthew McConaughey out of their house
yes.
and to jumpstart his life.
Yes, exactly.
And that sounds like a job created in Los Angeles
yeah,
by
yeah.
the 1% who are like, we
definitely.
Don't know how to do any sort of parenting. You're all 35 years old.
Right.
Let's do this.
Can you please get my 35-year-old son out, you 35-year-old
right.
woman?
Weird.
Such a weird plot line, and yet I watch it over and over again.
Right, right. Well, why not?
Yeah.
That is the insanity. So how does she do it?
She makes him fall in love with her.
Okay.
And then, of course, he's like,
I should probably get my shit together.
I should probably get my shit together.
Now.
And then he gets scared. And then he finds out that she was paid by his parents. Obviously, this happens. And there's a falling out because he's like,
right.
were you paid to fall in love with me? And then
and
she's like,
no, I really fell in love.
Accidentally.
Mr. Deeds goes to town. I just was writing an article about you. And then
exactly.
it turned out you were Cary Cooper.
Yeah, right, right.
And, so I fell in
turned
love
out you were voted People Magazine's number one
right.
man in the
you
world.
You were a guy who does a lot of sit-ups and
yeah.
very, very handsome. And yeah, that is that
I like
is
that
hilarious.
One. I like, I have so many I like. I even watched, I've seen the movie... What's Your Number a bunch of times.
What is that?
It is terrible. It's with
excellent.
Anna yeah. Faris is in it.
Okay.
And Chris Pine, I believe is his name.
All right. Chris
whoever's
Pine
Captain
of,
America.
Of Cap no no, that's it isn't Chris Pine was Captain Kirk.
Yes.
What's his face is Captain America. You would think that because I watched that movie
yeah.
over and over again.
Captain America.
And I'm spacing his name. Someone's yelling at me.
It's Chris,
iPod.
Right?
It is. I think
right.
it is Chris. And
also her husband Chris Pratt is in that too.
Which
from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh right.
Yeah.
From Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I think of him more as the Parks and Rec
yeah.
dumb guy who somehow got into Guardians of the Galaxy.
I have no idea. It was so good though.
Yeah, I loved it.
I
it
loved
was,
Guardians
it was
of the Galaxy.
Pretty, it was pretty great. It was what is that one about? I'm gonna actually look up Captain America.
What's Your Number is about a woman who has sex with 19 men.
Okay.
And she says, all right. That last guy is the last one. If I hit 20 and I'm not in a relationship or planning to get married, I'm going to be very unhappy. So she vows
shit.
To get her. I think maybe the sex with her 20th guy is like some guy she works with who's a douchebag.
Right.
Who's played by Joel McHale.
Oh, my God.
And so she's like, no more. I'm only going backwards now and finding any of the 20 I've had sex with already.
Right.
And I'm going to marry one of them.
Okay.
And so then Captain America helps her find, because he happens to have all these crazy detective skills.
Oh, sure. Well, he's Captain America.
Yeah.
Of course, he's the super soldier serum. It plays over into other movies.
Yeah.
And so Adams? Is it Adams? I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Whatever. But the weird thing, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, that's it, yeah.
So Chris Evans is in...
What's Your Number? He plays her Playboy neighbor...
Who is going to help her find a guy.
Yes.
Let me guess. They end up together.
Yes, they do.
Well played. Chris Evans, but Joel McHale is also in it.
Joel McHale is in it as the guy who forces her to make up her mind.
Okay.
That's the last number she's going to hit. He's number 20, and she wants to go no higher than 20.
Okay. And who wrote that, I wonder? Was it a man? Was it a woman?
I don't know.
It's always interesting to me to find out who writes these things,
I agree.
Too, because you're just like, what do you think is romantic?
Yeah, and what do you think? What are your representations of men and women?
Right. I often think men tend to think that women are much more romantic than they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Because guys, I am the biggest goof in the world. I want to be romantic, and what I really want to be is not even romantic, but just thoughtful.
Yeah.
But I have to remind myself to get out of my own. Because my self-absorption, all I want to do is stand-up comedy.
I know.
And all I want to do is think about stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But I also would like to be in a relationship with my husband, who is a very nice man. And deserves my full attention. Luckily, he is a game designer and only wants to think about games and only wants to play games.
That's awesome.
So we both have to look outside to do it. But he is much more romantic than I am. And much more interested. And I think it might be a guy thing.
I think so too at this point.
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend would say I'm probably more romantic.
Yeah.
She's romantic, but I do like, I don't know. You just
do more.
She knows I love romantic comedies also. So
right.
She's like, well, this is just a side of you, clearly.
Clearly. We will be going to that.
Right.
Well, I just, you know that there's a new Tina Fey, Amy Poehler movie coming out where they play sisters. And I don't think it's a romantic comedy. I think it's a buddy movie.
It's a buddy.
And, I mean, it's not Midnight Run.
Right, right. But,
which is what I think the heat is.
Yeah.
But I think that it would be, like, I have 2 weeks' notice. Like, Groundhog Day is a great romantic comedy, I think.
Annie McDowell, right? She plays the love interest.
Annie McDowell, yeah. And Bill Murray.
I love that movie so much.
It's such a great movie because it has so much more to it than, like, my favorite thing about romantic comedies is that there's always some weird secondary B plot.
Yes.
There's always a social message.
There has to be.
Because there's nothing else going on.
Yeah. Because if you look at it face value, it's just some dumb movie.
Right. What's the social message of failure to launch?
That sometimes dudes gotta grow up. No.
Right. Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's probably something weird about his parents.
There's something deeper too. He lost his wife and.
Okay.
Somehow that left him in taking care of a random black kid.
Okay. Oh, so he is a dad.
He's an uncle to this kid.
Okay. So he's like a mentor.
He's very focused on this kid. Like,
right.
He wants to help him out.
Okay.
And there's a similar thing in the movie, What Happens in Vegas with Ashton Kutcher and Cameron Diaz.
Wow. That was a shitty movie.
Yeah, terrible, right?
But
I loved it, and I watched it so much.
It had so much potential as far as, like, craptastic, you know, just kind of, let's all do this.
Yeah. It had so many good comedic actors, too.
Right.
That one was like Ashton Kutcher's niece was the only one he never lied to. So
okay.
When Cameron Diaz had a question about him, she asked his niece because he was like, I never lied to my niece.
Okay.
And yeah, I kind of have a similar thing where, like, well, I don't lie to my girlfriend anyway,
right.
But if my roommates always say, if we really want to know what you're thinking, we could just ask your nieces to ask you.
Oh, right.
And
right,
I'm like,
because
yeah,
you try to be honest to the kids.
Yeah.
Right. For some reason, they're tiny faces.
Yeah. You don't want to make them sad, but you want to also not lie ever.
Right. And for some reason, you want to be super honest with them.
Yeah.
And make it, when they lie, their little hearts out, the little shits.
Yeah. And
children are horrible as far as the truth. But
so true. They have to be taught to not lie. That's how bad it is.
Right. That is how bad it is. Because I think the go-to is to just deny and to not take responsibility. And then as you grow up, you're just like, well, I have to figure out how to be a decent person. And then eventually, for me anyway, is that I learned that it was just easier not to lie.
Yeah.
Oh, get this, though. I'm co-opting your time here. But
no.
I will tell you this, is that yesterday I did a podcast here in New York City.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Cellar. with Mandy Statmiller. Statmiller.
I think that's
and
right.
And we were all back to back to back.
Yeah.
It was Michelle Buteau, and then myself, and then Rich Voss.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
Rich came in during my show, during my time at the studio, and he was like, "Hey, Jackie Cation, you're always a jackass to me." And I was like, "Really?" And he goes, "I don't blame you because I'm a jackass as well." But yeah. And I was like, "I don't know." And he told a story that sounded like something that I said that I don't remember saying.
Yeah.
But the way he phrased it, I bet you I fucking said.
Yeah, yeah.
It was when him and Bonnie McFarlane got married.
Yeah.
I guess Bonnie told him that I said to her, "Why would you marry him? He hits on everything."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, God, that sounds like some horrible lack of filter that I would have fucking said. And then Rich Voss goes, "But you're really funny." So I just kind of let it pass. And I was like, that is a classic comedy kind
yeah.
of thing, too, because we tolerate so much more from people if they're funny.
Absolutely.
But there's definitely a love. I mean, but I was like, I am so sorry. What a jackass thing for me to have said, because they're perfectly happy together.
Oh, they're great. I love, they're like,
they're comedy. A really good couple.
Yeah, they're an awesome couple. Their daughter's great. They're
yeah, it's
they're killing
crazy.
It. Yeah.
So, but it was such a weird. I don't know why that, but it was. Yeah.
I feel like they have honesty with each other, and I think that helps too.
Yeah, in the relationship.
Day one with me and my girlfriend, we shared like the people we slept with who we might run into.
Okay.
And so it was like, all right, you might see this person. You should know I had sex with her.
Right.
Her with the same thing with me. Like, oh, you should know I had sex with this person.
Right, right. So that it didn't get weird.
And, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then from there, it was like, oh, well, cool. You can be honest and this will work. All right, well, let me just continue to be honest.
Yeah, because I think it makes it so much better for I don't need to tell him, I don't need to tell my husband every crazy committee meeting that I'm
yeah.
having, like all my worries and twisted, like, cause a lot of that stuff is not real. You
yeah.
know? Like
yeah.
I will have like some sort of weird speculative fiction. Like I never get jealous so much just because I always think it's going to end. And I'm like, well, he's probably going to move on. And as we go into our 10th year,
yeah.
recently I was at a party and I actually felt jealous. And we were at a party and he was talking to this woman and I was looking over and I was like, well, she's about 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Very tall. She seems, I wonder why he's talking to her. And then I was like, because we're at a party.
Yeah.
Hey, crazy. And at least I can recognize, because of comedy, I think. I don't. I mean, I'm sure there are sane people.
We have good observational skills.
Right. So I can tell, like, there's a second part of my brain that goes, hey, you're being a nutbag.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
don't you check out?
The comedian side steps out of there and is, like, looking at you, making fun of you.
Right, right. Making fun of you
yeah.
to make you not be. So what else? Now, you wrote Sneakers. And I just did an episode
I love sneakers,
with
yeah.
Sully McCullough.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
About
cool.
his tennis shoe collection.
Yeah.
And he has mostly Nikes.
I have a lot of Nikes as well. I'm wearing yeah. Nikes right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What are you wearing? What do you got?
These are Nike SBs.
I like that you wear them.
Yeah.
That's the important thing
yeah.
for him to do. He was like, you got to wear them.
Because otherwise, what are you doing? You're just holding them up like paintings
right.
in your house.
Right. And he has a crazy number of shoes because he met one of the guys who designs them.
Oh, that's incredible.
And so he got to go to Bend, Oregon with
oh, yeah.
an empty suitcase.
Yeah. My
and
friend,
the guy said, you could take whatever you want.
See, I was in Portland.
Yeah.
I did Bridgetown
oh,
last
there you
year.
Go. Yeah.
And they invited my friend James Davis
okay.
to
yeah.
the Nike factory. And I was like, man, can I go?
right.
And it didn't match up. I had like my show was early. And so if I would have tried to make it back, I would have never
right.
made it to my show. But I was like, God damn, I really want to.
So close.
Yeah, I was so close to going to the Nike factory. I just
right.
want to do that once.
Sully was talking about how he didn't want to be greedy.
Yeah.
And, but like it took him about 3 minutes to realize it was never happening again.
Yeah.
So he was like, be greedy. Be just once. Just let it go.
Because so, they're gonna. Everybody who probably has that tour gets to be greedy.
Yeah,
so.
You get to be greedy once.
Yeah,
and
take
and
it.
And so, what are your? Did you? He was telling me that it was weird where you have to sign up to possibly get a shoe. Like,
oh, there's certain
levels
ones. Yeah,
of crazy.
I frequent this store when I go home in Chicago. It's called St. Alfred, and I'll go there on a random day.
Is it a secondary market?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because he said that there's people buy them,
yeah,
and then they just resell them.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What's it called?
St. Alfred.
St. Alfred in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you go in there, and like I just go in there to hang out because I like the staff, and they have cool, like my hat is from there and random shirts I wear from there.
And you can look at shoes.
Yeah, you can look at shoes.
It's like going to a museum.
Yeah. And because I'm there so much, like sometimes when I'm in there, they'll be like, hey, by the way, we've got this... The new Jordan 12 coming out next week.
Right.
And it's going to go up. So do you want like a raffle ticket so we can hold your spot in line? And I was like, I'll be like, okay, maybe. But do I want to spend $200 on a shoe next week? I got to figure it out.
Right.
So yeah, it's an interesting culture. It's just so much waiting.
Yeah, it's got its own subculture of we're all interested in these weirdo shoes.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
It's like I did an episode with Kelly Anakin, a comic from, she does the Pandora Comedy Channel.
Okay.
She's
yeah.
in charge of the comedy curating. And she's a comic from San Francisco.
Okay.
And she loves American Girl dolls.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like that. The collecting of them, the collecting of the books that go with them, and then you can buy separate clothes that just go on the one doll.
Absolutely.
And it's all like that. So there's
specific colorways of different shoes. Yeah.
Okay.
Like there's the Jordan Spizikes, which I really like. It's Spike Lee's Jordans.
Okay. It's a Spike Lee Jordan.
Yeah, like a collaboration that they had.
And what year did that come out?
I think it was 90-something.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact year.
But what did they look like?
They look dope. They're originally they're Knicks colors because Spike's such a Knicks fan.
Then they released those colors. I don't know anything about
orange and blue.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Which are great colors. It was orange, blue, and white.
And
it was majority
pops.
White, and the orange and blue popped out of like the tongue and everything, and on the side on the Nike sign, and on the little bottom parts. They're great shoes overall.
Yeah.
And now they've been releasing different colorways over the last few years.
Okay.
And re-releasing them.
Oh, they're re-releasing them with a different color scheme?
Yeah, with different color schemes.
Okay.
So like now there's like a green one that I really like. There's different.
Like a neon green or a darker
dark
hunter?
Green. Hunter green.
Okay,
yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
I really like those. And but I do like the Knicks colors, but I'm a Bulls fan, so it's hard for me to have Knicks colors on.
It's when Sully was trying to explain to me about the Air Jordans, I was like, wait, there are still Air Jordans?
Yeah.
And he goes, Yeah, he's still getting checks on that.
Oh man.
It's all working out for him.
Really, right? He's so loaded.
Right. And you know what this reminds me of is people who collect Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
Because it'll be the same car, but it'll come in three or four different colors.
Yep.
And paint jobs.
Yeah.
So.
And it's just like Converse. I love Converse a lot. And you'll get like five different colors of Converse, white, black,
the high tops,
green, high
or
tops,
like
low
a low
tops.
Top?
Each one. I used to have three.
Canvas or are there different? Do they do like a
they do canvas. They do leather.
Okay. And leather.
John Varvatos has leather ones.
Okay.
It's Converse. Collaboration with John Varvatos.
Who's John Varvatos?
That's the thing. I don't even really know.
Okay.
I'm like, I like his shoes.
Shoe.
Yeah.
You know that guy.
I know that guy.
Exactly.
I know.
He's the James Bond of shoes. Fair enough. Are they pretty are they streamlined or?
They're just like regular Converse pretty much, but they're leather and it just has little different additions on the side.
Okay. So they're just kind of tricked out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's black leather.
Oh, fair enough.
It's very clean looking. It's very streamlined.
Right. That was I think that there's, like with cars and with anything like suits. Like I had a guy on talking about how he has suits made. And they all use this. It's the same kind of, you're looking for the line. You're looking for the color scheme.
And everything just, is important.
Like how it plays on your foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's an age thing because the younger I was, the more I'd be like, let's put a bunch of different, like I want the flashy shoe.
Right.
But now I'm like, I just want something that'll get me through the day.
right. That you can wear with a dress jean.
Yeah.
With a nice.
Like I go, if I tutor kids and then have to go to immediately to like a meeting with the network or something.
Right.
I'm like, all right. It's acceptable both places.
All right.
And then straight to my show at night.
It's all just fine.
Yeah.
I think it was like Eddie Griffin asked for a free pair of shoes with every gig that
he
did.
He does.
And I don't think it was the person who told me about it didn't understand that that was his dorkdom.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Because, what's his face? Brian Regan.
Yeah.
It's a it's a bottle of peach schnapps.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, I mean, granted, a bottle of peach schnapps is probably $30 and a pair of shoes is $140 or yeah. $120.
And they have to be fresh white, according to
oh, really?
What I've heard for Eddie yeah. Griffin. Yeah, fresh white Air Force Ones.
But if you're, but if that's your, and then does he leave them or do you think he brings them?
I don't
them?
Know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know him.
So. I want to know.
Yeah.
Because he did a club in Chicago and it was the whole thing. So we had to, there were standby people there.
Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So we talked about shoes and we talked about love and technology. And
love and technology.
Love and technology. Do you have anything else? Oh, you were saying that you have some alien theories too.
I do have some alien theories. Find it hard to believe that there's only one planet.
Well, it seems wildly unlikely. Doesn't
wildly
it?
Unlikely. One planet with
livable, sentient.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I don't know. A lot of people used to speculate there are people on the moon. I think that's a bit right. far-fetched.
Well, too soon.
Too soon, yeah.
Too close now.
Yeah.
And there might have been people on the moon that as soon as we got to the moon, they were like, oh, talk about white flight.
Right.
Yeah. I have a genuine theory that other like aliens are like, oh, they are not ready.
Yeah.
I think, didn't Stephen Hawking say that if aliens actually came to this planet, they would want to either enslave us or exterminate us.
Yeah, yeah.
Best case scenario, we would be really good pets.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And they'd like do sex experiments on us.
Right, yeah, right.
Whatever.
If there's always somebody who wants to do sex experiments on something.
No matter what.
Like, leave that cushion alone. It's like, why must everything be sexual?
Yeah.
It's so what about just the one person? Anyway,
But I think, and people have theories like, oh, you can't live on this planet. But it's like, yeah, we can't live on that planet.
Right. What? So do you read any science fiction? Do you tend to read any of that? Speculative?
It's all speculative.
You mostly read nonfiction.
I like memoirs.
Right.
I like Eddie Wong had a book called Fresh Off the Boat. It's just about him growing up.
Who's Eddie Wong?
He's a restaurateur out here.
Oh, nice.
He owns Bauhaus. And his brother comes to my shows a lot. So I've been keeping up with him a lot. And
so he's a chef.
He's a chef.
Okay, and owns a restaurant.
Owns a restaurant, and he has a show on Vice.
Oh, does he?
Called Fresh Off the Boat. And now, okay. Or it's changed because now he has an ABC show coming out called
Is it seafood? Is that what he means by fresh off the boat?
No. He's fresh off the boat.
Oh, he's fresh off the
boat. Yeah, he's saying like since he was born and raised in China.
In mainland China?
In mainland China, I believe.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Taiwan. I don't know. I'd have to ask his brother.
But he's Chinese.
Yeah. And he grew up over there and moved to Orlando from there.
To Atlanta?
So his book is sort of Orlando.
Or Orlando.
So yeah, not even so Atlanta weird. Would make more sense. I feel like Orlando is such a weird place
that
to move.
That's weird.
As an immigrant.
Yeah, because it's fine if you're Cuban.
Yeah, yeah.
But how does it, there's always those pockets of like when people come from other countries.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, there are 9 Ethiopians.
Exactly.
In Minneapolis. And now there are 7,000 Ethiopians in Minneapolis.
Exactly.
Because there's someone to talk to.
Yeah. They came back and they were like, yeah, go to Minneapolis.
Go to Minneapolis. We know it's cold. We're very scared. Yeah. It's going to be very chilly.
Right.
And
so his book is sort of about growing up as an immigrant and being like, my girlfriend had this too. Her family's from Italy.
Okay.
So like their lunches are a big part of how you know you're not from where everyone else is from.
Right.
So that was very interesting to me. Just being like, I would bring my food to lunch is what he said. And it would be like, everyone would be like, what is that smelly food?
Right.
And my girlfriend said the same thing happened to her.
Right.
She'd bring food to lunch, and it was food that her family made for years.
Right. It was.
And everyone
was,
else in class would be like, what is this shit?
Yeah. Right. You're just like, well, this is, I'm sorry, it's noodles and fish.
Yeah.
And,
it's regular where I'm from.
Right. It was, but remember in the Breakfast Club when she brought sushi?
Yeah. Now that would be like, every kid probably has sushi.
Every kid. Yeah. They're just like, bento box. Oh, yeah, let's do this. But yeah, I never, did you bring a lunch?
I did. I brought just like regular ass sandwiches.
But regular sandwich and fruit. And
yeah. Mine was plain as hell. I wish I would have had like
something more interesting.
Something like that. Yeah.
I would have been willing to trade.
Any day of the week.
Any day.
Fish eyes. Sure. I'll try them.
What the heck?
Yeah. Right.
So what is he? So he has a restaurant here in Manhattan.
Yeah. Actually right around the corner from where we are right now. Yeah. It's called Bauhaus.
All
it's
right.
Pretty good.
How do you spell Bao? Just B-O-W?
B-A-O-H-A-U-S. Yeah.
Like a bun.
So they serve Baos, yeah.
Okay.
And it's at like It's in between 2nd and 3rd Ave on 14th Street.
Oh, all
right. It's really good.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
That'll be great. It's I have a couple of sets tonight, but
nice.
I gotta get some. I went to the Hollywood Diner, which is right down the block. Yeah, a little taste of home.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not
it
at all.
It was just
huh?
a diner. It was a New York diner.
Regular New York diner with cheap food.
Right. It was a little expensive, actually. Sorry for the coughing, Rangers. I have a little bit of a cold that I'm getting over. So so you read that, and is that...
it's good.
Do you mostly read memoirs of people that are living?
Yeah, I really like that. I like people who,
like
who aren't very popular. No,
yeah.
I mean, I wish, but I'll inquire about it to them in person, and then I'll go look for it.
Okay.
Or like somebody like Kristen Newman.
Yeah, who's that?
Exactly. Nobody really knows who she is, but she has got a... I read her book. It's called What I Was Doing While You Guys Were Breeding.
Okay.
So it's about like her life when she would go on trips. She used to write for How I Met Your Mother, and
okay.
she was the showrunner.
She's a comedy writer.
On Chuck. She was a comedy writer.
Okay. And she was the showrunner on Chuck?
On Chuck, yeah, which is pretty cool, I thought.
What the hell's her name?
Kristen Newman.
Yeah, I'm in the part of show business that doesn't know who anyone is. So Kristen Newman. So,
and she wrote on That 70s Show, too, which I was also interested in.
Okay.
And so it's about her going on these trips to other countries where she would like have passionate relationships with these people.
Oh, just sort of fucking then, her way around the world.
Yeah,
sort
pretty
of
much.
Live, pray, or eat, love,
yeah,
pray, kind
but
of.
But like
but
from a comedy writer's perspective
probably.
And way more interesting than
and
that.
And probably funnier and
yeah,
smarter.
Way funnier.
Yeah.
It's a really funny, it's a good book. And it's about, it interests me too, because it's about her, like she had to do it during off times from writing for these shows.
Oh, right. Because she'd be on hiatus.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, quick, let's go to Bali and
yeah.
find someone to sleep with.
Exactly.
And
or like the business is so fickle too that the show will be ending and she'll be like, well, the show's ending. I guess I got seven months off. What am
right.
I going to do? Go to fucking Argentina again,
right,
I guess.
Right, I guess. And climb a mountain.
Yeah.
Who lives up there? Hello, sir.
All right.
And that's hilarious. I read, I have read only a couple of those, but those are, that's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I like it.
I read, it was a memoir of an Armenian woman who, and in the midst of it all, there were recipes, like from her grandmother and stuff.
That's good.
But it was a memoir about how, in the 60s and 70s, she slept with like Taj Mahal and Billy Bragg.
Wow.
And like she went around in the 60s and 70s and then would just write home to her parents for money. So she is not the hero of this story.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
You're just, hey, why don't you get a job? And but she's getting to meet really cool musicians.
Exactly.
And screwing around and doing drugs and making pilaf and various making Armenian food wherever she ends up being. I'll put it in the notes, the name of the book. I can't remember the name of it. But
I like anything that like I think love is very important. It's the basis of what everything I write, pretty much, and
okay.
everything that I.
A lot of your stand-up.
A lot
as
of
well?
My stand-up is based on love. I have like a whole.
Do you do a bit? If I remember correctly, don't you do a bit about cyberbullying?
Not cyberbullying about
per se, or
I have some stuff about like computers.
Okay, maybe it was turn the computer off kind of situation, or no, that was not.
That might not have been.
That is me paraphrasing a bit I heard at the Hannibal Buress show 1 year ago.
Oh yeah,
that may not have been yours. So I'll be moving on. So you write stuff. It's from. So you try to write stuff about relationships, or
I
just
do.
About sociopolitical from a perspective of love, or just trying to come from a good spot.
I just try to come from a good spot, and I try to have my basis be love. So whether that's your love of what you do,
mm-hmm.
so like the thing that interests me about Eddie is like his love of food. And
right.
Bourdain has his book about how when he figured out he really wanted to be a chef, when he loved it.
Yeah.
And I actually love his story because the way he knew he wanted to be a chef was he was working at a restaurant and a bridal party came in.
Mm-hmm.
And the bride was in the back hanging out with all of them. And then the guy who, the head chef,
yeah.
was like, hey, Tony, I'll be right back. And he was like, can you watch the grill, Tony? And Tony was like, yeah, you know, I'm coming up in the restaurant world, this would be great. I get
yeah.
to watch the grill for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody like crowds around a window. And the chef that had just told him that was outside having sex with a girl.
The bride.
He was having sex with the bride.
Yeah.
On the night of her wedding.
Yes.
And he was like,
and
at
Anthony
that,
Bourdain is like, now
said,
I want to
yeah.
be a chef.
His quote is, at that moment, I knew I wanted to be a chef when I looked out and saw him doing that.
Why why am I not? Here's the thing about Anthony Bourdain. I listened to it on Audible, one of his books, and I was like, oh, you're kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he's a dick.
You are not the greatest guy in the world.
No.
You're willing to take advantage of whatever's available.
Exactly.
Food, beverages,
heroin. He used to be on for a while. Yeah. Ladies.
So the last nonfiction book I read, sadly, and the people who've been listening to the show were like, really? You've been talking about this for months. You haven't picked anything up? I haven't. I was Havana Nocturne. It was the story of Lucky Luciano and Meyer Lansky trying to turn Havana into Vegas.
Oh, nice.
Like a Monte Carlo.
I like that.
And so they had Batista in their back pocket, but then Fidel Castro was like, nope.
Really?
See ya. Yeah, and so he completely destroyed. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of the Cuban expats that live here are so anti-Cuba.
Yeah.
Because anti-Castro is because they had all of their money in that Monte Carlo investments.
Jeez.
And so they escaped with some money.
Yeah.
But they're like,
but not all of it.
It was going to be millions, man. It was going to be the biggest thing in the world.
Oh, that sucks.
And, and then you think that Fidel Castro taught everybody to read. So,
yeah, right.
I'm all right with that. I'm all right with it. And Meyer Lansky supposedly died with $50,000. I doubt it.
I bet there's a coffee can somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
It just buried
Swiss bank accounts that we don't know about.
Exactly, a million. But it was a fascinating story. That kind of stuff.
I like it. Yeah,
because I like the idea of history.
Me too, but history is so boring if you just.
Right, if you're just
like regularly.
The other ones, I don't like. Sarah Vowell does some great history where she kind of makes fun of history.
Yeah, that's good too.
Right, Assassination Vacation is my favorite one of hers.
Okay.
And I also, she read it on Audible.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and,
that's awesome.
It was about, she essentially goes on vacation to where McKinley, Lincoln, and Garfield were shot.
Okay.
And McKinley and Garfield, I know almost nothing.
Right. Nobody does.
So Assassination Vacation was fascinating.
That's cool.
And it was really good. And then she wrote one called The Wordy Shipmates, which needed to be read to me because it was super dense.
Okay.
And really, really, it was about the Puritans.
Yeah.
And
which,
you were like,
that's such a topic that I have no interest in.
A lot of big words happening. And, but it was good. It was really good when she did it.
Yeah. So history can be fun, but it's got to be.
I
really like specific history. It's the only way I can get interested in it. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you reading now? Are you reading anything?
I'm reading fiction right now. I'm reading Inherent Vice because I want to see that movie too.
Oh, right. Who wrote that?
I forgot the name of the guy.
Oh, that's fine. Someone will know.
Somebody's got to know. But it looks good. I like bumbling detective things.
Oh, okay.
Like Big Lebowski is one of my favorite movies because I feel like it's... part romantic comedy.
Yeah.
With Julianne Moore. It's also part buddy comedy with him and Walter Sobchak, John Goodman. And it's also a bumbling detective story.
Right.
Because my favorite thing is like when the person starts out and you show his life and he's like an idiot sort of.
Yeah.
And then he's forced into this situation where he's got to be smart.
Right. He's going to rise to the occasion.
Yeah. So he's got to be a detective for this.
Yes. That is one of my, okay. So I meant to go. As we jump all over the place,
Will Miles.
It's at Mr. Will Miles, by the way, on Twitter, correct?
That's correct.
And WillMilesComedy.com has all your tour dates and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be in February?
On the 13th, I'm going with Julia Razzi to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, doing Steel Stacks.
Oh, wow.
On the 13th. And then the 14th, we are hosting a show at QED.
Right, over in Queens.
In Queens. New theater that just opened up. We're hosting the Valentine's Day.
And you do a lot of sets around New York area.
Yeah, I'm in Knitting Factory every Sunday.
Oh, fair enough. Hannibal. Is it every Sunday?
Every Sunday.
Oh, that's great.
We took over for Hannibal. He gave us the...
Oh, he gave you the room?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I'm doing it next week.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be great.
Okay, and because we went from reading the food books to the fact that you really... one of your favorite things is going out to eat.
Yeah, I love going out to eat.
Who doesn't? Let's talk about where.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Bauhaus now.
Bauhaus is great.
Yep.
I love burgers a lot.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm a big fan of burgers. I've heard Five Napkin is great. I have not gone there.
Five Napkin?
Five Napkin is on 3rd and 14th also.
And I like a privately owned place.
Yeah, me too.
Or a small chain.
Yeah.
You know, where there's only a couple of them. If it's
right.
going to be. There's a good place in Los Angeles called Lemonade.
Lemonade. That will make, definitely check that out.
It has salads.
Okay.
And it has, you know, you pick the meat that goes with it, but it's, and it's not my favorite way to eat. Because I like to sit down like a Christian and have people come to me.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I like to make an order.
Of course.
I'm out.
Make a big deal of it. Yeah.
You're going to bring me food. You're going to refill my coffee. It's all going to work out for me. But Lemonade is one of these sort of cafeteria situations where you stand in line with a tray.
Oh, wow.
Which I do not enjoy usually, but the food is really, really tasty.
Okay. Katz's Delicatessen is one of those, too. It's pretty good. Good sandwiches.
I went there for matzo ball soup because of the cold.
Yeah, how was
it? And it was amazing.
Nice.
But I was offended by the fact that I wasn't going to be sitting down.
Yeah,
and have someone just come over and bring me soup.
Yep.
And I had to keep my own ticket.
I know. All of that is... And then I'm like, I could lie on this ticket. I don't have to. I can get two tickets and throw away one.
Exactly. This is not the ticket of my dreams.
Yeah.
And what... Yeah, so, but then there's also over by there, there's a place called Russell and Daughters, maybe?
I've seen that. I have not eaten that
yet. It is a Knish place, I think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So they're doing good work with a Hot Pocket.
All right. Homemade Hot Pockets.
What are your favorite burger places in New York?
In New York, there's One Oak. It's in Williamsburg. It's really good.
One Oak in Williamsburg.
One Oak is good.
What makes it good? Do they?
I like the breading.
Okay.
I like a thin bread where the meat is like the main course.
Okay.
And the meat is really good. It's organic. It's
grass-fed. You
know, socially conscious. Right, yeah, all that shit.
It was beef that chose to die.
Yeah. I'm the beef wanted to die, and it was close.
exactly. It didn't want to live too full life. Yeah. It wanted to be super tender and get the hell out of it.
That's a good burger. Fritzl's Lunchbox in Bushwick is a good burger.
Okay.
That's right by the...
Over by the Knitting
DeKalb
Factory?
L.
Okay.
A little further. There's pretty good burgers around there.
Right.
Dumont Burger is good. It's more famous.
I am I'm a crazy person for grilled and baked chicken.
Yeah.
And
baked chicken is so good.
Pio Pio, as somebody told me, was the best chicken around here.
Pio Pio.
Pio. And I think it's Brazilian.
Yeah.
And there's good work being done in South America.
Seriously.
Holy crap.
My God.
I remember when I first moved to Los Angeles, I had baked chicken that had, and they gave you a side of lime.
That's what you want.
Hello, madam.
Yeah.
You have chosen wisely. And then I was on board. It's the greatest. I love baked chicken is my favorite. I love a Mediterranean chicken.
Me
where
too.
They do like a cumin.
Yeah.
Coriander kind of thing.
Whatever and spices they put on there.
Just a regular garlic lemon is nice.
Yeah. Lemon is such a nice touch to almost every meal.
Right.
Lemon or lime.
And you said that you like Mexican?
I do love, I love Mexican.
What's your
when
favorite?
When I was in Chicago, I once ate Mexican food for probably 2 weeks full of meals.
Just
at
burritos,
least.
Tacos.
Yeah. And I might have taken like a week break to eat like a couple of Thai meals and then went straight back to Mexican.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I love it.
If you end up moving to Los Angeles, in the Valley, there's an amazing Thai restaurant called Krua Thai, K-R-U-A. And only twice have we ordered something where they've had to come back and go, you know, white people don't ever order that.
Yeah.
And we're like, Americans, they always send it back.
Yeah.
And so we just ordered, we got this spicy blue crab one time salad.
Ooh, yeah.
That was... They were correct. They've been correct both times.
Yeah.
We had to finish it because we had ordered it.
And you wanted to be like, not me.
I want to be, I'm cool.
Yeah, right.
I'm all right.
Maybe all the other white people, but
right, with me, I'm down. And it's completely insane. And so then I ordered the salted cod last time we went.
Yeah.
And it was too salt. I mean,
really?
It was, the guy comes back, he crouches down at the table, he goes, just want to tell you, nobody... You're not going to like this.
Yeah.
It's really salty. And I'm like, that's why I want to try it. And I said, how about this? I promise to pay for it. And it was essentially like overcooked, salted. It was a rock. It was a salt rock.
Yeah, okay. That's
something that
no
you
fun.
Needed to be raised.
Yeah, right.
As a delicacy.
Yeah.
You know, like fried gizzards.
Yeah.
I love fried gizzards.
Mm-hmm.
I love okra.
Yeah,
these are foods that I was weaned on.
Yeah,
so
right.
Other people you are have like, to be. Too slimy. I don't, too gristly or whatever. And so.
I like okra.
Yeah.
I like fried okra. For sure.
Yeah, fried okra is good.
Yeah.
My grandmother, it's an Armenian thing where you stew it.
Okay.
With beef and onions. Ooh, and tomato. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
It's nice. It is a little slimy, but if you put it on top of a peel off,
yeah,
it's fine. It's don't even worry about it.
I'm into it.
Yeah, it's good. So, and do you cook?
I don't.
You don't?
I recently made. I don't cook a lot.
Okay.
I cooked a baked chicken and asparagus and rice.
That is a perfectly
my girlfriend
good
recently.
Meal.
Yeah, right.
Did you do a real simple bake on it?
It was a lemon chicken, lemon and garlic.
Oh, did you do a whole chicken or did you cut it up?
I did two halves.
Okay.
On a baking sheet. Yeah.
Because it cooks
so
more
good.
Evenly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can get better crispy skin.
Yep.
As far as I'm concerned.
It's true.
The skinless, boneless chicken breast is an abomination before God and man.
Yes. You need the skin. The skin is a key part of it.
Yeah. The bones.
The bones.
Add the flavor
have
to it.
Have flavor inside of them.
You
yeah.
want to take the skin and the bone out after you've done cooked it?
Yes.
That's between you and your business. But cook it. Because that's why, like, when you go out and you're like, okay, I'm going to get a chicken breast on top of the Caesar salad, they have to season the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it doesn't have any flavor. It's a hockey puck.
Yeah, so. You're right. Yeah. So you want a good...
Yeah. So you worked at a hot dog stand for 4 years?
4 years. Murphy's Hot Dogs in Chicago.
Is it foot-long dogs or...
We had foot-longs and we had regular Chicago char dogs.
I love a Chicago dog.
Oh, it's so good. The celery salt.
The celery salt, yeah. Genuinely, and the weird greenest of all...
Of relish. Yeah,
relish.
The green relish.
It makes
neon
it for
green.
Some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
I worked at a hot dog stand for 3 summers.
Oh, nice.
On Cape Cod.
Okay, yeah.
And it was chili dogs and kraut and
yeah,
foot-longs
yeah.
and pups. But we didn't do a Chicago dog.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, we should have, because those are nice with a pickle on it.
Pickle on it? Oh, I love pickles. Tomato. You got onions? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tomato.
So good.
You forget about that.
Tomato on a hot dog is very underrated.
Everyone should go out to eat after they're done.
I know, right?
To the Dork Forest. It's, I think we've dorked out. We
dorked out.
I think we've covered, except for the fact that now, I was shy to bring this up because I'm the worst when it comes. You say that you're a music and music magazine dork.
Yeah.
The music magazine gives me something to ask you about because everyone likes music.
Yeah.
What kind of music magazines?
All over. I have a probably 10 years worth of the Source magazine.
Okay.
The rap magazine.
Yeah.
I have the first 2 years of Double XL magazine.
Double XL.
Yeah, it's also another rap magazine.
Okay.
I have it was called Notorious. It was
okay.
P. Diddy had a magazine for like a year. I have all of those.
And what year? What years?
I have the Source starting from like 1989 to about 1996.
Okay.
Probably all of them.
Right.
And then I have a few from like 98.
Right.
To beyond that. I have Rolling Stones. I have probably 50 Rolling Stones somewhere.
From 1989 to 1991.
8 giant bins of magazines I have.
Wow.
Yeah.
So essentially, with all the articles, with all the reviews,
yeah.
with do you own a lot of music from that time?
I do. Okay. That I've gotten rid of. I have Spotify
right.
now, so I can, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. It's fine. But for 3 years, I listened to a fair amount of hip-hop.
Yeah.
And it was from 1989 to 1990.
All right, yeah, yeah.
And and then every 4 years, I'll buy an album.
Yeah.
And of almost any kind. So who are your favorite?
What got me into it in the beginning was Farside.
Okay.
I mean, they're a little later. They're 94, I think, when their album came out. But... Before that,
What was your favorite song? That was your gateway drug? As
Other Fish in the Sea. They have a song called Other Fish. Yeah. And it's about a guy who's hung up on one girl, and then his friends are like, nah, there's other fish in the sea.
Okay.
It's really good. Back to the love theme.
So, back to the love thing. That's it. And this is my favorite thing about hip-hop, especially back in the 80s, is that it was always a story.
Yeah,
I
know.
It was like
I
country
love
music. And it was the same story
as
country music because it was always about love and it was about vehicles and it was about it was about getting some action. And because the song that got me into hip hop was Jimmy Hat, KRS-One.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. And then so I bought the I bought the album, the second album he did with Scott LaRock.
Yeah.
And it was political.
Yeah.
And I was political at the time, until I became sad. And so
that's what politics does. Yeah.
Right. Sure. And so everything that KRS-One mentioned on that album, I would go and buy that person's album.
Nice.
So I went out and I bought like Eric B. and Rakim, and I bought Public Enemy, and I bought Big Daddy Kane, and I bought, I don't know what else I bought.
Yeah.
But it was, and then I had cassettes because it was 1989.
Right.
And
I had bins of cassettes too.
Right. And it was, who are your current, what are you listening to currently?
Currently I listen to, I like a guy named Travis Scott. He's good.
Is it hip hop or is it guitar rock?
Hip hop.
Okay.
It's good.
I had Lorraine Newman on. She was talking about dubstep.
Okay. Dubstep. And, I like dubstep a little bit.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Like, go for it, Lorraine Newman. Yeah. You go to Coachella and hang out with Skrillex and lose your tiny lizard mind. And
I used to work at a school, and there was this kid named Victor who was at the school, and now he goes, he's a rapper now. He goes by Vic Mensa. He's really talented. I listen to him. I've been seeing his concerts for the last 5 years.
Oh, that's cool. What's his name?
Vic Mensa.
Vic
Very good.
Like Mensa Mensa?
Like Mensa Mensa, yeah. But that's
awesome.
His real last name, too.
Oh, is it really?
His real last name has an H at the end, but he spells it like Mensa.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. That's hilarious.
So I love his style and everything. His best friend also, he used to come visit, this kid named Chance the Rapper.
Mm-hmm.
He's good, too. I like them both. Kendrick Lamar is great. I like Kendrick Lamar because he goes back to the original idea of like storytelling.
Okay.
And a lot of his songs are about love too.
Okay.
And I respect that.
Yeah, that's I bought three albums this year. I bought the Eminem album.
Yeah.
I very bought good. The Fun Dot.
Yeah, I like
that guy.
Yeah.
That's good times.
Yeah.
That's good times. And yep, could have been anything. I think 2 years ago I bought Alabama Shakes.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Which is also a good. But I usually end up owning like one album of everybody's.
Yeah.
Right? Like I have one Common album.
Yeah, yeah.
I have one Lupe Fiasco album.
Yeah.
I have one White Stripes album. And so
all
it's
great artists.
Yeah, so. And they're fine. But I mean, are you more of a completist or?
Yeah, I like to complete it. I have Spotify has really helped that.
That yeah, that will because then it's because that's I tend to read by author and a lot of people listen to artists by artists.
Yeah, I love certain artists and I'll listen to their whole catalog.
Yeah,
and the cool thing about Spotify is I can just get their whole catalog out of nowhere.
Right, and then you can really sort of cherry pick like what when I buy an album if there's three good songs on it, I feel like I won.
Me too.
Yeah, and one good song, that was worth $7.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah,
I have $7.
And that's because we grew up buying like things that you had to possess.
Right. It had to be a hard copy.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, I don't like any of this.
Yeah. And then it would be really upsetting if you spent all of your
right now I don't
hot
even
dog
know.
Money.
And you couldn't rip it.
Right.
Throw it away.
Exactly.
At the very least, I can rip it and go, and used bin. It's for you.
Right.
Somebody else can rip it.
We used to have to literally make mixtapes.
Yes, exactly.
Like press record on the thing.
Yeah. Will Miles, this has been lovely. It
this
has been an
great.
Hour.
It's Thank almost, you. It's, oh, nice.
I mean, we weeded all over the place, but I think it was we got to scrabble around inside your brain box and see what you dork out about.
Yeah.
And people should go to at Mr. Will Miles on Twitter and willmilescomedy.com for all your info. And go see him do stand-up. He's really funny. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you. This has been very fun.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?